Frank Gray on the line. Frank Gray is, as you know, Margaret Gray's husband and attorney, one of the entertainment attorneys that we talk to from time to time on the program. And Frank, it's good to talk with you. I haven't spoken to you one-on-one in a while, but you were asking Margaret about that book that I'm reading, about the Joseph Plum Martin book. That's not Frank Gray. Where is he?
I've got to get him a line number two first.
What did you just say?
I got to get a line number two.
Yeah, because all the other lines is out. I've got to get line two.
I don't know what that means. All the other lines are out. You got to get line two. Is that him there? Hey, Frank. Frank Gray, how you doing?
Hey, young man, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am better than custard, Bill. What's going on?
Well, you, Margaret said that you wanted to know about the book that I'm reading.
Well, I wanted to find out about this Joseph Plum Martin. He was telling me that you're reading a book about this Revolutionary War. Did I get her name right?
Yeah, Joseph Plum Martin is the name of the soldier. It's a book that I first discovered.
Sorry, that we can get into the backstory later on. I don't want to get too deep into what, how you discovered it. And I wanted to get the name of it because it was Margaret was telling me about this book that you were reading, and he said it was fascinating because it was the day-to-day story of the foot soldier in the Revolutionary War, and I said, my God, that sounds fascinating. And he told me the name of the soldier was Joseph Plum Martin, and she came from Connecticut. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. And tell me, where are you in the book?
Well, right now, I'm at a point where he has taken part. He just came down from New York. They were involved in the Battle of Harlem Heights. They went up to White Plains. They came down to Pennsylvania, Germantown. They defended the fort there on the Delaware. This young soldier was involved in quite a few significant battles, and he's also very honest and candid when he says, I want to relate something that happened. I wasn't a part of it, but here's something that took place that was quite well known, and it was one of the battles that took place outside of Philadelphia when the British were occupying Philadelphia. The other thing is that he said, I want to set the record straight on a couple of things. And one of them was very interesting. When the British came ashore on Long Island at Kipps Bay, there's a story that was repeated about a Revolutionary War soldier who said, I'm standing my ground, else I would have been trampled by all the cowards, because, you know, the militia fled from the British and just sort of just ran. I mean, they were just frightened by all these British guys coming on shore. Okay. Well, Joseph Plum Martin says in his book that that's absolute. Nobody that day didn't run. He said everybody in the militia ran. It was just, it was either you did that or you're going to be killed. He said there wasn't anybody standing their ground and saying everybody was a coward, but I'm the one brave guy. He said that we ran. They finally stopped when they came up, when they found the Continental Army. And these were the actual regular soldiers. Those guys, they kind of marshaled around them and turned around and counterattacked the British and defeated them at Harlem Heights, which was the first victory for Washington in the Revolutionary War.
And all right, so that's a very interesting story. So she says that that they stopped when they found the Continental Army. Now, isn't it true, and I don't know what she says about this, but isn't it true that the Continental Army was very respected by the militia?
That's true. History has a way of maligning armies and playing up the role of militias. And the militias were necessary in the Revolutionary War, but even Plum Martin said if it wasn't for the Continental Regulars, the war never would have been won. He said that the militia was so often routed, not very well led. Once they got incorporated into the army and they had good officers and they got good training, things got better for them. And he said, but it was the Continental Army that saved the day time and time again. And so, yeah, that's an interesting part of the book. Where I am right now is they've just left that fort that they were successful in defending, and it's getting cold. I think they're about ready to go to Valley Forge. They're always hungry. They're always cold. They're always barefoot.
They really suffered, and Washington. It's a good thing that she had the respect of her troops, because I can tell you they probably would have deserted a lot sooner, and that's very interesting. So the name of the book is what?
Well, it's just Joseph Plum Martin, and it's a book that I think it's called something like the Narrative or Remembrances of a Revolutionary War Soldier, and he wrote this down later in his life. He's only 16 years old when he was in the militia. And he reenlisted. He was in once, and then his time expired, and then he went back and reenlisted again and was involved in quite a few fights. I mean, I think he was involved really in all 8 years of that war. It's pretty interesting.
All right, so her name is...
Hold on for just a minute, would you, Frank?
Yeah, sure.
Put him on hold, will you?
What?
Put him on hold.
What do you want to put me on hold for?
No, just talk. When I ask you to put a guy on hold, put him on hold, bud. Don't ask me why.
Well, I just felt it was necessary.
What's up? I want to tell the audience about his gender confusion. He's sitting there calling George Washington she.
Well, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I got an audience out there that's probably listening for the first time hearing this guy talking about him like her. You know.
Well, I think a lot of people is used to it by now.
Not new listeners. No, they're not. You know, Margaret was telling me that she, Joseph Plum Martin in Washington, I mean, come on.
Well, what's the big wow, Phil?
We're talking about the president and the general and the whole, you know, when I say get him back on, then you, okay, go ahead. Yeah, so anyway, sorry, Frank, we had a technical difficulty, so.
No, he didn't.
Shut up.
What did you say?
Nothing. So I can certainly get the title of the book, and if you want, I'll email you the title. And I got it over at Amazon.
Oh, okay. So you got it at Amazon.com. Is that the place that you did get it at?
Yes, Amazon.com.
And let me ask you, because Margaret was saying that you got it, and you got a one click or something. I forget what he said, but he said that you got a one click.
Yeah, you can go to Amazon and you can do a one click purchase. And I tell you what, go to Amazon.com through my banner at Phil Henry Radio, okay?
Through the banner at Phil Henry Radio.
Yeah. Go to Amazon, just go through my Amazon.com banner there at Phil Henry Radio, and you, bang, you'll go to the books and look up, just look up Joseph Plum Martin. And then you can register, you get an account, and you just hit one click, and it'll electronically deliver it to your Kindle or to your iPhone, or it'll deliver it to you, you know, by way of the mail.
Oh, that's pretty good. So, all right, so her name was, and did she ever meet George Washington?
Joseph Plum Martin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't gotten any point. I do know that that he met Isaac Putnam, that he met Thomas Knowlton. I mean, he spoke of both of those. He spoke of Thomas Knowlton, really. Everybody loved Thomas Knowlton. Everyone respected and feared Putnam. And he hasn't offered an opinion yet on Washington. I think it's because he hasn't met him yet.
Oh, so she didn't meet her yet.
She didn't meet her?
Yeah, this guy Martin, he didn't meet her.
Oh, Martin didn't meet Washington.
Right.
Okay, yeah, no, not yet.
So she didn't meet her, all right. Well, when she does meet her, when do you think that she will?
I don't know, George.
What are you calling me George for?
I mean Frank, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused.
Almost like you've got gender confusion. All right, young man. Well, I'm going to be looking for that. Sounds like a great book. Like I said, my wife, Margaret, he told me about it. And thank God I've got him in my life.
All right, well, we'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, what are you looking all creeped out for?
You got to get that guy fixed.
Phil, tell me about it. We've had him into specialists. He's had MRIs, he's had CAT scans, he's had dog scans.
Dog scan.
I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be funny.
How, did he ever meet her? Well, when does she... I mean, it's enough to... I can't, you know...
Well, don't take it personally. Frank loves George Washington. He really loved her.
All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk more about her, George Washington, and other news. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And if you're wondering what that is behind me on Phil TV in HD, that looks like the planet Earth, and it's rotating very slowly as it begins to absorb the proper nutrients and all that stuff to create a vivid living planet. I don't know what happened.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This story of... I'm not exactly sure why I'm fascinated by the story. I suppose for the same reasons the rest of us are. Train wrecks are fun. And when we say train wrecks, it's the same reason why, you know, for the longest time people would wonder, well, why are the Kardashians so... why are the Kardashians so popular on television? There seems to be an awful lot of people that don't like them. I don't think that that necessarily is the case. I will say this, that it makes us feel better sometimes that even people who have lots of money and have the means to a great life, we can actually watch these people go through their day and say, wow, I'm smarter than that person, and I never thought it possible. You know, I mean, how is it that they're so rich and so dumb? I really honestly think that that's part of the attraction. I know they've got fans because if you go over to Twitter... And Bobby Dooley, Margaret, you don't follow any of the Kardashians, do you?
Oh, my God, no.
Well, Bobby does.
Yeah, well, that figures.
Okay, but if you look at some of the comments and if you look at some of the people that follow them, it's amazing. I mean, they are absolutely just in love with them, some of their more sycophantic fans. All right, Oblivion premieres in Los Angeles. This is a new movie with Tom Cruise. I think Morgan Freeman is also in it, and the Russian actress model Olga Kurylenko, or Kukulakuku, or...
Kukulakuku? What?
I don't know.
It's Olga Kukulakuku. It's no.
You know how to say it.
Yes, I do. It's Olga. Excuse me, but I cover these actors. Yes, it's Tom Cruise, it's who I interviewed. It's Morgan Freeman, who I've interviewed. And it is Olga Kurkululu Kuku. I don't know how to say it. It doesn't make any difference. She's never going to be anything.
Oh, I see. Have you interviewed her?
Have you interviewed her?
What's that mean, Phil?
Well, you're sitting there going, excuse me, I know how to do it. And you get to her name and it's Olga Kuklu Kuku. And then you say, well, it doesn't matter. She's never going to be anything.
She isn't going to be anything. She's beautiful. She's a model. Look, Americans chew these Russians up and spit them out. We don't care. Think of one Russian that has come over here as an actress and has really made
has made
an impression. Is that what you're looking for?
No, that's not what I'm looking for, but it'll do.
Think of a Russian?
Yes.
Mikhail Baryshnikov.
What a jack... He's a dancer, you jackass.
Hey, excuse me. That guy was in movies, wasn't he?
Well...
Yeah. Mikhail Baryshnikov and that other guy. That guy that was in...
Which one are you talking about?
He's a Russian, and he was Alexander Kuluku, or I forget, but he was in that movie...
What are the name of these guys, man?
He was in that movie, Witness. It was about the Amish.
The Amish?
Yeah, it was Harrison Ford. It was Meg Tilly, or one of the Tilly sisters.
What do you mean, the Tilly sister?
Hey, bud, you know what? Don't even ask, okay? Because you don't know who it is, that doesn't mean anything. Because you don't know who it is, that doesn't mean anything. Okay? It's not like, uh-oh, Bud doesn't know, so that must mean everybody doesn't know. So just never mind.
No.
Well, I mean, who's Tilly?
Never mind who the Tilly sisters are, because it doesn't matter if you're asking me. There's Meg, and there's another one, and I forget her name. All right. So anyway, that other guy.
What other guy? All right, Phil, you said Mikhail Baryshnikov. All right, I'll give you that.
Then there was another guy, and I can't remember his name, but there was another guy. So that's two. Okay?
Yes, both men. But in recent years, we've had Russian after Russian after Russian... pouring in here trying to make it big in Hollywood, and they've been belly-flopping every last one of them. And do you know why? Because they're nice to look at, but those accents absolutely turn the stomachs of every good Christian soul. There.
What a xenophobe.
No, 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 Phil.
God, Miss Gray, that's pretty xenophobic.
You don't even know what it means.
What a xenophobe.
And why do you call me that?
They turn the stomach of every of every Christian soul.
I'm telling you, we don't like listening to that Russian guttural. We never have. The British accent we like, the Italian accent we love, the French accent we adore. But when we have to listen to those Russians with the that gu- and look at this Olga Kulikulu, whatever her name is. She's looking Morgan Freeman up and down like all she has to do is bed him. And you know what? That's probably all she does have to do.
Well, boy, you got a big opinion of Mr. Freeman, too.
No, I don't have a very high opinion of him, but he knows that. He knows that. When I sit down with Morgan Freeman, he already knows that I think he's nothing more than an animal. He knows that, and he still gives me the interview.
When you sit down with Morgan Freeman, he knows you think that he's an animal.
Yes, and he has respect for that. When he sits down with me, he knows I'm looking at him, and all I see is somebody that just climbed out of a sewer.
Man, that's not very respectful of him.
Spit it out. That.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Why would he give you an interview?
Because he knows I tell the truth. I get the job done.
Yeah, okay. How about Tom Cruise? What kind of a guy is he?
Gay.
Okay.
Well, what are you laughing at?
All right, that's fine, Margaret. You know, I just got done with, by the way, the my second book on Scientology. Tom Cruise comes off in these two books, the book that I read, Inside Scientology, and this one, Going Clear, which is the one about Hollywood, right?
Right.
Tom Cruise comes off as just this puffed up, pumped up jive ass. In other words, and it's not his fault, because essentially the point of the book is that the Scientology hierarchy protects him and shields him from the other realities of Scientology's upper workings. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, they've got all these punishments that they dole out. They have all of these different processes and different ways that they do things. But none of that stuff they show to Tom Cruise. All he knows is that when he goes to visit the headquarters there, he has this palatial residence that they give him, the finest food, the greatest time, the top-notch this and the top-notch that, and the guy has this idea that Scientology is just a bed of roses morning, noon, and night.
Well, of course they're going to protect him from all of the realities because they want him to be the spokesperson. Now, there was a film that came out in 1994 that allegedly, all right?
Okay.
Because I don't want this to be misunderstood, but it allegedly was a film of a top Scientology spokesperson engaged in gay sex.
You think it was Tom Cruise?
I'm not saying anything. I'm simply saying it was allegedly a top Scientology spokesperson involved in gayness.
Yeah, talk about gay.
I think so, yes.
And they covered it up.
Yes, they covered it up. In fact, I happen to know in reading the book you read, they brought in some pretty heavy hitters to cover that one up. I'm led to believe that, yes, it was Mr. Cruise.
Now, here's the thing that I read in that book. The guy that they kept worrying about being gay was not Tom Cruise. It was another Scientologist, John Travolta. Not once did I hear about them referencing Tom Cruise.
No, they're not going to reference Tom Cruise because they'll get sued. They know that they will be sued by Tom Cruise. The John Travolta rumors are so rife and have been so effervescent and ever-present, and I use the word effervescent to mean that they continue to bubble along, that even John Travolta can't sue at this point if he were straight, which I'm not sure that he is. Tom Cruise, on the other hand, he'll bring the holy terror of God on top of you if you even breathe the word gay in his direction. So that is what we're talking. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm sorry, but isn't that worth it to hear all this good, dish on Scientology?
No, it wasn't, because that Chinese food you ate, God. Whew.
Oh, man, Sparrow, over here.
Well, you've got no manners. You have no manners as a man, do you?
No, I have no manners as a man. By the way, thank you for your belch. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So getting back to Tom Cruise.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, that actress's name is Olga Kurylenko, and she's appearing in Oblivion, and it is a film. I don't know a lot about it, but it does have to do with aliens attacking Earth. So if you want to work L. Ron Hubbard into that, you may.
Well, I think it goes without saying.
No, it doesn't go without saying. No, it doesn't.
But it could be Xenu.
It don't go without saying that it's Xenu, okay? Look, just because it's in outer space, and I'm not sitting here, I'm not going to go into a big Scientology thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Xenu.
Think about it, Phil. It's Tom Cruise. He's doing a film. He's doing a film about space aliens attacking. Why isn't this the final Xenu apocalypse?
Can we get off of Xenu, okay? And just, I don't want to talk about Scientology. All I'm saying is, it looks interesting. And Cruise has been doing a lot of these action movies lately. I mean, a lot of these very. Not since, and I can't really be sure, but the last real heavy dramatic piece I saw him in was the Magnolia. That's the, and I could be wrong about that. Yeah, it was Magnolia. But I didn't see, and I thought that was outstanding, but I didn't, since that time, I'm trying to think, I can tell you he's been in a whole lot of, and I liked War of the Worlds, man.
Oh, I thought it was terrible.
You didn't, I thought War of the Worlds was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought the only part of that movie that just got a little squirrely for me was the whole Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins was fine, as it goes, but he was a little, he was chewing the scenery up left and right in that one.
Yeah, that guy was talking about all them people, he was that nut, right?
Yeah, they were sucking blood out of everybody and putting them up in a basket.
They were sucking blood out of everybody and putting them in a basket?
You don't remember, when they went to Tom Cruise's house.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, that's, I wonder if that part, was that in War of the Worlds?
What do you mean?
Was that in the H.G. Wells version of War of the Worlds that the Martians were taking people and sucking the blood out of them?
I think it was. I think that they finally put all that stuff back into the real one, because the one that they did do, they messed it up.
And by the way, Alexander Gudinov, the reason why I couldn't think of the name.
Who is that?
That's the guy in Witness.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Alexander Gudinov.
Well, I couldn't think of the name because the name reminds me of a cheese, and I was thinking of Gouda. I don't think that he's that big of a star.
No, you just asked me, Russian stars, Mikhail Baryshnikov, this guy Gudinov, I don't know who else, you're right. This actress is a beautiful lady, but whether she's going to actually take off on the international scene of you know, actresses, I don't know. All right. Enough of that bullcrap. So we read to you about that zombie fragrance. That's fantastic. And we also told you about the guy that was using the eel for sexual pleasure. So that's fantastic. I got to tell you, man, that's mental illness right there.
Phil, I think that you're beginning to sound a little conservative.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to tell a man how to... In the privacy of his own bedroom.
In the privacy of his own bedroom, huh? How about in the privacy of his own aquarium?
Would you tell that to shut up?
No, it was funny. Yeah, no, he has a right to laugh.
How dare you laugh? What are you laughing at?
The privacy of his own aquarium.
So you say the man's a freak?
He's an absolute freak. An absolute sick freak. And he needs a doctor. He needs a psychiatrist. You understand? Anyone that uses any kind of an animal for that has to go in and have to have their brain looked at because there's something wrong with them. Sexual freedom. Get out of here, will you?
Well, I...
Here's a guy that tried to take a picture of a beaver and it killed him. Yes, one day he and his wife were fooling around...
Give me that.
It's a... Just kidding, I'm kidding. I mean, it was a real beaver.
I'll bet it was.
No, it was a beaver. It was the animal.
I don't want to see the picture, thank you.
It's not what you think. It's an animal.
It's the one with a flat tail.
You know, you guys are always going on about asses. And
we're not talking about an ass as in flat tail. We're talking about an actual beaver.
Which, do you mind?
I don't believe this.
Margaret, he ain't talking about a lady. He's talking about the actual animal in the forest, okay?
Yeah, in the bush.
I'll bet it's in the bush. I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
This is the kind of the animal, the beaver, that builds the dams, okay? That goes into the forest and builds the dams. All right? Do you understand the difference, the animal?
What's this about a flat tail?
That's what beavers have! God!
And it tried to kill him.
It did kill him! And the way that this thing killed him, this guy was a fisherman in Belarus, and he tried to take a picture of a beaver, and the thing bit him. It attacked him, and it bit him. And it wasn't so much that the beaver just was like this big, powerful beaver that just beat the crap out of him or anything. The beaver bit him in a very unfortunate spot right on the thigh, which is where your femoral artery is. And that is a major artery, and the poor man bled to death. His friends could not stop the blood flow. You know, if you ever have an artery severed, you'll know, because it is like a faucet, man. And you've got to just, the best way you can, you have to tourniquet that thing, man. I mean, you've got to, like they do in the Boy Scouts or whatever, take a stick and just twist that thing, you know.
Yeah, get the guy's leg cut off.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, you have to, what you're trying to do is save the rest of the body. So you've got to tourniquet that and essentially stop the blood right there from going any further. So that leg... You kiss it goodbye, man. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose the leg, but you have to think in those terms.
Well, what are you all of a sudden, Dr. Kildare?
I'm telling you. You can make fun if you want, Margaret, but you got to, if you see somebody with a severed artery, you got to make sure that you do something to really put the pressure on and stop that bleeding. That's what happened to this guy. His friends could not stop the blood flow. And as you probably all know already, beavers can cut through trees. They saw down trees. They literally gnaw through a tree and knock it down, and this is how they create those little dams. So if a beaver can gnaw through a tree, man, he's going to gnaw right through your leg. Now, beavers attacking human beings are rare. When they do occur, rabid beavers are generally to blame. That is, a beaver that is... has some form of rabies. There was an attack in upstate New York last year. This week, this video was posted on YouTube showing a man being mauled by a beaver in Virginia. And there was a poor man, as we mentioned, just whenever this was, just a few days ago, who was attacked by this beaver and got bit and he bled to death. So you have to... You know, you got to be careful. One of the things about rabies or rabid animals, the good news on all of that stuff, is there's no such thing any longer of the so-called rabies treatment, which was a painful series of shots that you got in the abdomen. You don't go through that anymore. They give you shots in the arm. They are standard inoculation-style shots. They may be in the muscle, but it's nothing like what you had to go through in the past, you know. So that's kind of the good news, but you don't want to mess around with any time you get bit by an animal and you don't know whether that, you know, you don't have a tag, you can't find out whether that animal was inoculated, you can't find the animal, it's gone, you better go in and get a rabies shot.
You kidding me? You get bit by like a cat or something?
Any animal. I don't even know if you have to get a rabies shot. If you know that the cat's had its shots. I got bit by a cat. I used to work at an animal hospital when I was a kid. And I got bit by more cats. I got to tell you something. A cat bite is painful and it's infectious. And I got bit in the worst possible place. I got bit right down on the knuckles. And man, that just drives the infection into your body. And I had to go in and get tetanus shots and all kinds of crap. I remember my hand swelled up. So, you know, be safe, and you won't be sorry. And stay away from beavers, the kind that build dams with the flat tails. Not flat ass, but an actual beaver with a flat tail. There, do you feel better?
A little bit. Well, don't give me that because I don't know what you guys are talking about half the time.
And then the other thing is this story about Nadia Suleiman, which is about as disgusting. I don't know what it is about this woman, but people, what's up with her, man?
The problem is she cannot get enough money to support her children, and that is, I think, the problem.
I'm going to get Bobby Dooley in here because we do have coming out tomorrow Bobby's interview with, Chris D'Elia from Whitney, the great stand-up comic. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hi, Phil.
Have you got any plans on interviewing Nadia Suleiman?
At this particular time, we don't, Phil. We do eventually want to get someone like that because I do have an awful lot of people that are celebrities, people that do want to come on and do our podcast, and we're not going to be able to get all of them in. We want to change it up a little bit and get some of these people that I think it would be fun to look at them and sort of ask them, you know, what, you know, just as you said, Phil and Margaret, you know, what's going on? I mean, what is your problem? You know, and
I mean, would you ask her that?
I think I would. I think that's the best thing to do when you have an individual like her. You just say, you know, I'm Bobby Dooley, and, you know, what's your problem?
I mean, but how would you interview her, seriously?
Well, that's what I would do. I would start out to say, Ms. Suleiman, you're, you know, good afternoon, and, you know, it's nice to have you here, and I don't know what your problem is, but you're really ugly.
You wouldn't say that to her, would you?
What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Well, let's say, I mean, isn't that...
Isn't it what?
Isn't that a little rude?
I don't understand. If you're looking at her, I'm looking at Nadia Suleiman right now, Margaret, in a photograph.
Yes, but to come right out and say you're really ugly...
Well, I'm looking at her in a photograph right now, and she is absolutely the ugliest woman I think I've ever seen in my life. And on top of that, if you're listening, Ms. Suleiman, you've got the fattest thighs. I mean, you've got to be kidding. So what are they trying to do?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're giving her a... They're trying to give this woman some sort of a, as they say, a relevance. So they have her, paying homage to Angelina Jolie. She's dressed up as Angelina Jolie in one of her... Or a Laura Croft costumes and some other kind of costume to show us what this woman, what she looks like dolled up.
I mean, she, you know, it's frightening. It's really, really, really sickening. So, yes, we would love to have Nadia Suleiman on the Bobby Dooley podcast. I think it would be exciting, but she's sickening.
Well, good luck getting her on if she ever hears this interview.
What? What do you mean?
She's going to be listening to this and she hears you say she's sickening.
Well, I don't think that. I mean, what has that got to do with it?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, I said she's sickening, but I'm talking about her coming on our podcast.
She's going to hear you say that she's sickening and she's not going to want to come on your podcast because you called her sickening.
Oh. I don't know. I think it would be fun to... I mean, I don't know. I'll let Steve work on that.
Yeah, you let Steve work on that. I'm sure he's got some magic...
Well, whatever.
All right, okay. Thank you very much, Bobby. Thank you.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, she's a brain surgeon.
Well, you know what? I mean, people love the podcast. All right, we'll be right back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is Bobby going to have Nadia Suleiman on her podcast? No. Well, yes, she'd love to, even though she's sickening. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Sorry, folks. I just messed up. I was trying to coordinate a few things. A little late to get to the air here. Anyway, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. About ready to conclude this evening's frivolity. And we again remind you to join us at philhenryshow.com for live streaming video of our show every night. Coming this particular summer, we're going to continue with our show. And we're probably going to be changing up, although it is on demand, so you can watch or listen anytime you want. We're probably going to be changing up our show. It may actually become a morning show more than a nighttime show. And by that, I mean we're probably going to incorporate more morning-type breaking news things. Nonetheless, you'll be able to watch the show whenever you want, listen to the show whenever you want. We're also going to be, as I indicated earlier, and I got a lot of people saying, oh, well, how are you going to do that? Hey, don't worry about it, baby. We're going to be incorporating the phone calls back into the show in the classic fashion that we've used them. And just leave it to Phil, okay? Don't worry about how I'm going to do it, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know because they're figuring, how are you going to do it?
Well, they ain't going to find out how I'm going to do it until I decide to tell them how I'm going to do it. How's that sound? Don't worry about it. I got a couple of ideas. We got a few tricks up our sleeves. And quite frankly, we're rather resourceful when it comes to this sort of thing. So we're going to be incorporating the phone calls back into the show that way. We, of course, encourage you to enjoy our podcasts. Most of them are now behind the paywall. So to listen to them, you have to be a subscriber. We've got some 120 podcasts, classic podcasts, that are now for subscribers only. But we do make available to you our most recent 25, and we have an episode now, 146, which is on iTunes as well as SoundCloud and the Sideshow Network. It's Bobby Dooley and the very famous Don't Get Between a Dog and Its Meat episode, where she got into that whole hair-pulling thing. And she wound up getting into this big fight with this woman and got into a whole argument about which family is more suitable to help repopulate the planet Earth after the inevitable radiation and complete, the, you know, annihilation of the human race following Y2K. Which, as you know, happened.
No, it didn't.
Oh, it didn't? Oh, okay, it didn't. Gee, I thought it was supposed to happen, remember?
Well, Phil, don't rub it in.
No, I think I will rub it in. You know, the problem is we don't rub these things in enough. That's the problem. We should be rubbing it in a lot more. We should have rubbed... When Y2K didn't turn out to be an absolute and complete disaster and the whole world shut down and people... We should have stuck it right back up the you-know-what of everybody that said it was going to be pillaging and raping and we're going to go back to the Stone Age. I mean, we should have made fun of those people to the point of suicide. I'm not kidding you.
Well, that's absolutely... Why would you do that? That's sadistic.
Because they deserved it. That's why. They deserved it. I say this, you know, 12 years after the fact, but anybody that came on, and I heard them too, especially that one guy that wrote that book, Date Rape 2000, you remember that? Oh yeah, man, Date Rape 2000, there was going to be unbelievable this, that, something else. And whether that guy meant it or not, he probably didn't. He probably had stock in some company that sold, you know, survival equipment, who knows? But the fact is, he wrote that book, he went on all these talk shows, and he wasn't all that bright. I can't believe that the cat sold the books that he did. But we should have just gotten those people back on the radio and just... People like that need to be mocked. They need to be made fun of. That guy that predicted the rapture, this guy that did the 2000, every single one of these people that predicts the end of the world should be laughed at until they blow their brains out standing on their front lawn one night.
God, Mr. Henry, that's...
Man, that's hardcore, man. You better believe it's hardcore.
And you're proud of yourself.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I dare you to say that again.
Okay, I will. Every one of those people that... See, she doesn't want me to say it.
I can't believe you're going to say that.
I am. They should be mocked until they wander out onto their front lawn one night at 2 a.m. with nothing left. But no, you know, just it's all over. And just put the pistol right under their chin.
Oh, my God.
That's bitchin'. Hey.
What's wrong with that? What are you so shocked about?
Ma'am, he said, that's just hardcore.
Yeah, you said that already. It's hardcore. What's the big deal? God, you know, we're a bunch of candy asses. I swear to God. We give these people all kinds of credibility. We run around like chickens with our heads cut off. We get all panicky. We're going out. We're doing this, doing that, doing something else. And then when the guys prove to be wrong, we're reluctant to, you know, make fun of them. We ought to make fun of them. We ought to make fun of them until they kill themselves. I'm serious. I think it would make a great movie. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, another great movie produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. Be sure to join us at philhendryshow.com for all of the great Phil Hendry Show shows. We've got thousands and thousands of hours to choose from there. And, of course, we have our videocast archives. We have our news feed. We have so much more. All of the miscellany, all of the extras, all of the glitz, the glamour, the glory that is college football. And don't forget to join us tonight at 10 o'clock. That's 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.